Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, our Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges, helps us to learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor Matt Garrett. Today, I am joined by Philippe Siragi.
Myself.
The man in blue and white and checkers and other patterns that I don't know how to describe in the studio. Today, we're going to be...
Squares.
Yes. Circles. No, diamonds.
There's no circles.
There's some diamonds there.
Okay.
Which is just a square, like... sideways.
Should we start another debate on my, you know, the color is blue. Let's tell that once and for all.
Yeah, you know, someone after one of our shows the other day, like wrote in on the show and was like, the color is definitely blue. So you have people in your corner.
Thank you.
Actually, I'm the one who said it was blue. You're the one who said it was gray.
Yeah. So yeah. They're not in my corner.
I don't know whose corner they're in. It doesn't matter. We're all on the same team. Today, our show today, we're going to be talking about dealing with the lies of social media and the pressures it puts on young people's lives. Now, this is part of a broader theme that we're covering throughout the week. It's a focus on youth, young people, and the different challenges they face on a daily basis, Christian or otherwise, just challenges they face on a daily basis. to get things started, Philippe, we had a conversation before the show the other day, and how do we want to talk about social media in general? Because when we say a title like that, people might just be thinking, oh, you guys have a very negative understanding of social media.
Right. Well, okay, so we just want to make sure that you guys understand this is not an indictment on social media. You're laughing because I'm speaking slowly.
No, I have no idea
blue
what,
is the color
what that
blue.
Word means.
Yeah, there's a... Okay.
We'll get to that later.
All right. Well, okay. So, yes, it's not an indictment on social media, okay? We understand that, you know, we're not here to say, guys, you know, it's from the devil, or, you know, have these cliche, like, cookie cutter ideas. It's easy to do because... Okay, but then we did our research. We looked at things, and what's one of the things that surprised, I think, both of us when we're looking at things, it's how many websites that are out there about, you know, the bad side effects of social media that are promoted by clinical institutes, hospitals, governments, health departments. So it's not like Christians, you know, oh, this is the mark of the beast, or this is not our conversation today.
No.
You know, just like, so, yeah, so the first point is that this is not an indictment. We're not trying to say something like, you know, do not use social media, or it's bad, it's evil. There's a good side to it. But what was surprising to me is that I didn't think there were so many studies made on social media. And there's two things that really interesting, I think, for the conversation. Number one is how many there is... I mean, out there, you know, there are many studies out there by, you know, like official studies, like really done by scientists, and also how many warnings out there. Like, we don't know the full extent of the consequences of social media on the generation because we haven't been through a whole generation yet. So it's like this almost saying, well, let's use the principle of precaution here. Let's just, you know. So what we're going to be talking about today, I think, is we're going to give you a lot of numbers maybe of things and side effects. Going to sound very bad. But also we want to give you some guidance on how as parents, maybe young people, you can be wise about it. And the whole conversation and motivation, really, I think, what we want you guys to understand is that we're not here to be like... telling you what to do, you know, in a way, but just like you have, okay, I think in America you can drive when you're 15 and 9 months, right? So you would hope that the parents
with
learner's permit, and then you grow up, and then you end up with a license, and you would expect that parents would give their children guidance, you know, and you see that in the world today, like I'm trying to remember, the name doesn't matter, but there's this kid who's been, I think he's going to end up turning 25 years in prison because on the day he graduated from high school, his parents got him like a super powerful car, I think it was a Ford Mustang, and he raced with somebody else and he killed the mother and the baby on the road. You know, I think it was somewhere in Florida. And you realize that this is what we're talking about. Yes, social media is a powerful technological tool. And it can be misused and can lead to issues. And it needs to be approached with wisdom and just critical thinking and not just... So that's me framing the conversation.
Yeah.
That was a long framing.
That, you know, the framing is important. We've discussed this.
Yes.
The framing is important. One of the statistics that jumped out at me was that out of all the different ways a person can spend their time, young people between a certain age range will spend more or most of their free time on social media,
yes,
as opposed to
yes
any other category of leisure,
yes,
as opposed to sports,
yes,
exercise, television, games. Like,
mm-hmm,
social media is the big draw,
yes,
right now.
Yes.
So it's important that we have this conversation because this is where teenagers are spending a lot, yes, of their time.
Mm-hmm.
If they weren't spending so much time here, we would still want to have the conversation, but mm-hmm maybe it wouldn't seem like such a hot topic or a, yeah, big issue.
Yeah.
But as is the case with any growing, any fad growing in popularity, it's like you want to be able to have a balanced mindset on it.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be able to look to the Bible for guidance, if there is any, on, you know, usage or how to go about your leisure time,
yeah,
or how much to focus on certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we're seeing whenever we start to look at these negative effects, what we're seeing is that the more time people spend on social media,
mm-hmm,
the more likely they are to suffer a certain set,
yeah,
of, you could call, mm-hmm, them mental disorders,
yes,
mental diseases,
mm-hmm,
or just states or attitudes that are not helpful to their, yeah, everyday life.
Or not reality also.
And also, yeah, also,
yeah,
not based in reality. Like right now, in social media, there's a huge push to get people to move further and further into what's called the metaverse.
Yes.
The metaverse. Have you heard of the metaverse?
Yes,
it's
of,
like,
course.
I'm
not that old.
Oh, I wasn't sure. No, I'm just kidding. It's like, you know, there's online gaming, and then there's a whole world behind online gaming, or there's online shopping. There's a whole world behind online shopping. This is the metaverse. This,
yeah,
is like... where virtual reality takes place of reality in a person's life.
Yeah.
The more they delve into that stuff, it seems like the more they want to stay there,
yeah,
as opposed to what's going on here and now.
Yeah.
One verse that I really love, I don't know if it technically relates or not, is
mm-hmm,
Matthew chapter 6,
okay,
and verse 34.
Let's see.
And it says, "Take no thought for the morrow." Let's see, what does it say? "Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." I think one thing social media might take away from us on a regular basis is our awareness of the present.
Yeah.
It might take away from us our being grounded and rooted in reality, being grounded and rooted in love and truth.
Yes.
And the people who are right around us. Are there positive aspects to social media and connecting with people in faraway places? Yep, 100%.
Yes.
But I think sometimes the amount of time we put into it can really hack away or chip away at the relationships that are important to us that are right around us.
Yeah. And we're talking about social media. Like, I think maybe a generation before, the issue was TV. You know, like, I think it was some the average number was around 8 or 9 hours a day.
A day, yeah.
And now the TV is maybe not as much as an issue. I think people look more about the video on demand and stuff like that. But what we're saying really is okay, so we're looking at our young people. And one stat that also struck with us was 95% of the 13 through 17 years old spent, you know, time on social media on a daily basis. 95%, which is like... nothing. It's, and what was interesting about this stat is that no 13 to 17 year old does anything else up,
right,
to 95%.
Right.
Sports, no. Reading, no. You know, except going to school, maybe. But even going to school, that's required. And not even 95% go to it, because,
yeah,
there's homeschooling and then people out of school,
mm-hmm,
you know, early. So it's the most captivating aspect of our young people's lives,
mm-hmm,
is social media. And it, again, if it was, you know, there is many issues, and we're not experts to talk about all of these, but I think maybe we can start, you know, talking, if you want, some of the things that I looked up. And
sure.
I'm going to, just to make it dramatic, I'm going to read the possible issues that are tied to social media. I'm going to read all of them, and we can discuss them.
Dramatize.
Yes, I just
want to dramatize.
For
us, please.
Otherwise, there's no...
I love when you go into acting,
yeah,
Philippe.
Yeah, because
mode.
What we're looking for today is a lot of likes on our show.
100%.
So I want to be dramatizing. I want to make this very dramatized so people will actually will click, you know, and love and subscribe.
Yeah, on social media.
On social media,
no!
Of course.
Oh gosh, okay.
That was all right. So
here's the rub.
Anyway, so these are the known issues studied by psychiatrists, medical doctors, health specialists, youth specialists, and there's a rise of these issues, and they can trace it to social media, and we didn't explain you why.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, so eating disorders, that happens,
mm-hmm.
body shaming, and you know, also the ideas that you have models and this. So now it's, you know, in my generation, if you want to have access to anything, you'd have to buy the magazine,
mm-hmm.
you know, so you have to go to the place, you know, like we didn't have internet. And I'm not saying it was better. I'm just saying now it's readily available, right?
Mm-hmm.
So eating disorders, mental health issues, it's something that is very much studied. If you Google social media, And you see the suggestions. The first one that comes up is social media. It's mental health.
Wow!
So it's the most searched correlation, mm-hmm. you know, on social media in Google, which is amazing. Number three, the body image, which is go back to the idea of eating disorders, cyberbullying,
mm-hmm.
and we'll talk about that. But there is 70% of young people that said that they experienced cyberbullying.
Yep.
And it's very, I'm just going to say something about this a little later, but maybe anyway. So the imposter syndrome, which is now you see people saying things on social media, you believe it's true, and then you look like an idiot, so you don't think you're capable of doing anything. So that's what they call the imposter syndrome. Mm. Even though you're qualified, you're not qualified because there are hundreds of thousands of other people who do it better than you, so you think.
Mm-hmm.
Stalking. That is one of the things that you can actually, now I can know a lot about your life without even going to your house or following you, and that's one stalking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sleep disruption.
Yeah.
It's one of the major things, and we'll talk maybe later if we have time, but about the brain development, you know, like until you're 25 through 28, your brain is not completely formed.
Yeah.
Most people don't know that.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. The privacy issues, mm-hmm. like how many things you become an issue. Now, identity theft is on the rise every year, and it's mostly because of social media.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy for me to get access
yep.
to your personal stuff.
Yep.
And the last but not least is pornography.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the issues with that, it actually leads young people to think this is sex life.
Yeah.
And that they take that with them, and they're up for a rude awakening in life. So how do you want to deal with this?
Wow. Well, I mean, I'd say let's go from the top.
Let's go from the top.
One thing I was thinking about, you were talking about eating disorders mm-hmm. as like one of the first things
yes.
associated with it. So a person, let's see. So it used to be magazines. It used to be television commercials. It mm-hmm. used to be you had a person in front of you that was modeling a certain physique or
yes.
stature or status.
Yes.
And this was desirable. So what did people do to achieve this desire that they had or try to achieve this desire? They would take matters into their own hands. They would not eat, or they would become bulimic. They would cause themselves to throw up, like all these different unhealthy habits that you can form. One thing you notice in today's society, so we often in our conversations outside of here, we've talked about like the pendulum swing
yeah.
of different rationales and how when one is pretty far off on one side, you let the pendulum go, the reaction is usually pretty far off on the other side. And right now, today, you have a society where instead of they don't say so much about anorexia or bulimia.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, they let people, you know, live however they want to live and
yeah.
grow their bodies however they want to grow their bodies, and they start to praise them and say, no, you're beautiful too, no this is healthy too.
Yeah.
And none of that is healthy on either
yeah.
side of the
yes.
pendulum.
Yes.
Whether it's and like I'm not speaking from a place of judgment, I'm speaking from a place of like where I'm clinically overweight, where I'm clinically obese.
Yeah.
And
we went over this.
And I don't consider that like a good thing for
yeah.
my life. I don't consider that a good thing for my family, like that I would be unhealthy
yes.
and unable to provide mm-hmm. for them and take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
I want to find that healthy balance where
yeah.
I'm not relying on the top 1% of people to influence the way I think about my body image, but I'm also not going completely against it and saying, well, I'm just gonna be comfortable with myself in whatever way
yeah.
and just lose any discipline I may have in my life.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I mean, because this is exactly what we're talking about. There is a big word that that comes on social media. It's normalize this. Or
yes.
Normalize. So
yep.
I get that. So when it was first used, it was people suffering for something. It says, okay, leave us alone. Okay, don't judge us because I'm depressed, for example. Mm-hmm. Normalize depression. It happens in society. Don't look at other people and have a judgmental approach to their issues. I get that. Just like body shaming is something we don't accept as Christians. But taking from this and thinking normalizing depression, meaning that now it's okay and there's nothing that should be done about it, that is a very deadly approach.
Yes.
It's the same thing. So if you look at social media, I went through a few social media since we decided that would be the topic. And we have these interesting reactions now where first, people completely uneducated on issues for likes and views will say something dramatic about health. And then some doctors now have to go back and say, well, this is wrong. These are the studies.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of what you read or see on social media have to be double checked.
Yes.
Fact checked. Let's put it this way. But what's interesting, this doctor, he's very famous on social media, and he was actually addressing the idea, one of the accusations that he had, because he was fat phobic, right? The idea is you're against fat people, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. that's what the word means. And the only reason why he was accused of that, because he promoted the idea that this diet is better than this one mm-hmm. if you have health issues being overweight.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to do a whole video explaining, what do you want me to do?
This is based in scientific study and research.
So that's the pendulum you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
But body shaming is something that is unacceptable.
Yes.
But not everything about being overweight is body shaming,
mm-hmm.
right? So now young people have to navigate. So somebody, let's say a young person, their brain is not fully formed yet,
mm-hmm.
hence not fully functioning.
Yes.
And I know it's provocative, but I'm saying that I wanted to say this. And then you look at that and you look at, okay, my doctor says I should lose some weight. It's going to be better for me. But over here, I'm told by some obscure person over there who's also maybe battling, with weight, and he said, I'm going to accept myself, which is fine. It's
yes.
okay if you accept yourself.
Yeah.
But if you tell others that don't believe your doctor who's saying you have 39% more chance to have a heart attack at 45 years old if you don't lose weight, if you don't watch your cholesterol,
mm-hmm.
then that's the issues of social media.
Yeah.
So you're 17-year-old, 19, even 21-year-old, you're looking at those things, you think those guys know that what they're talking about because they're on social media and they have 19,000 followers.
Yeah, just a million followers and everyone is praising them for what they're saying.
And
yeah.
that is not correct at all.
Right.
You know, like so that is one of the issues with eating disorders, because now you have all these things that people look at this and then the body shaming will lead to anorexia maybe or cyberbullying in that
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm.
But all these things, what we're saying, okay, I think I mentioned that several times, and I teach at the high
yep.
school, the seniors, and we're discussing apologetics. And the first month of the class, we usually discuss what we call critical thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And critical thinking is another form of using your brain and research capacities to do fact-checking,
mm-hmm.
right? You look at something and you're, okay, well, I need to double-check that. But when you scroll down, and listen randomly to things, you don't have the time, you don't take the time for this, and you can be trapped. And this is why clinical specialists, youth specialists, and even our authorities that are, in health departments are saying, guys, we need to do something about this because this is out of control,
Mm-hmm.
So that's the idea of, so if you take mental health, which is another issue.
Yeah.
Depression went up.
Mm-hmm.
Suicide is going up,
mm-hmm.
Among the young people.
Yeah.
And because if I look at social media and I take it at face value and I mm-hmm. believe, oh, those guys, And now you see more and more people on social media that are maybe influencers, as we call them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're more rooted in reality. You're going to say, okay, well, you see that on social media. Let me show you the other way, especially
yeah.
the pictures.
Yes.
This is the pictures of me because I have the perfect position,
mm-hmm.
and this is me without the perfect position.
Yep.
And the whole shape is completely different.
Everything online can be altered.
Yes.
Everything online can be made filtered through a million different possibilities to make it look however you want it to appear.
Yes.
It has no actual grounding in just everyday life.
Yeah.
So what's the next one?
The mental health that we're mental health. But yeah. It's self-evident in a way. Like if you look at the other people and you see what they post and you think you're not there yet. Oh, he's 23, he's a millionaire, or she's 25, she's a model. Mm-hmm. You know, and you look at this and you don't know anything about their lives, mm-hmm. you know, and then you think I'm not there yet, or my life is, you know, I don't have so many followers, or you know, and I find myself in a place where my and we go back to the idea of normalizing things, like normalized depression.
Yeah.
And I say this because even in real life, though, so you and I work with young people. Mm-hmm. And then so sometimes it's interesting because when you talk to young people that are going through battling depression, if they were battling cancer, you know what they would ask you? To pray for them because they need to believe that God can heal them. They don't do that when they battle depression. Mm. And it's baffling to me.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Well, it's not that easy. Okay, so hold on for a second. I understand depression is complex. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I understand it. I'm not a clinical right. specialist. But are you saying that this is out of God's reach? Mm-hmm. This is what it's implying. No, whoa. You're judging me. Mm-hmm. No, I'm telling you that God is capable of healing you regardless of what your issue is. Mm-hmm. If God can heal cancer, God can heal depression as well.
Yeah.
But that is, because of the social media, let's normalize depression. Mm-hmm. So you want me to let you in your thoughts and normalize that and empower you in this situation instead of praying for you and giving you some advice.
Yeah.
And that is a dangerous road to go to.
Yeah.
Very dangerous.
I mean, Paul addresses this a little bit with the Church of Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter, is it chapter 10? Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and he's talking about like dealing with matters of the flesh mm-hmm. by using methods of the flesh.
Yeah.
And he says, starting in verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Paul is like exhorting his church to say, like, we are all going to think negatively. We are mm-hmm. all going to go down deep, dark roads sometimes, yes. and we can get lost in them. Mm-hmm. And it's very common. And we are not holding anything against anybody for having to deal with that. We all have to deal with it in different ways, some much worse than others. But the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Yeah.
God is able to overcome that thought pattern.
Yeah.
God is able in Romans chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, to renew your mind over and over again, to give you a fresh perspective, to give you a word in season, to give you a way of escape is another way that Paul puts it when it comes to different temptations and whatnot. We're not belittling mental health or disease in any way here. We're just saying there's also a way to talk about it and include God, like you were saying. It's very interesting that they would be prone to ask for it with something physical like cancer, but then when it's something mental, they think, "Oh, I'm beyond help at this point."
Yeah, I mean, the point we're making is that if you believe something on social media that contradicts the Bible, contradicts God, then you're believing a lie. That's one of the issue. Mm-hmm. And even though you're right, I think we're not saying, I think it's easy to not understand someone when they go through something because you're not going through it yourself. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to understand. We get that. Okay.
Yeah.
But what we're saying here is that you cannot tell us there are some things that are to be so normalized that they're out of God's reach. And that is one thing that happens on social media, mm-hmm. is that you will see things and you will believe them and you'll be encouraged to act a certain way that are contrary to what the Bible says about what God can do. And then not only you're living a lie in that way, but you're also depriving yourself of something that God would want to do in your life. So when you look at the issues in social media, what we're saying here is, okay, what about wisdom, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about. What about wisdom? Those things, because when you, again, you know, if your brain is not fully developed at 25 years old,
yeah,
and then you're 16, 17, 18, even 21, 23, can the things you're seeing shape your mind in a way that will scar you for the rest of your life? God is in control, so he can change everything, but yes. So the point we're saying here is just like you don't drive 100 miles an hour downtown Baltimore and, you know, to avoid an accident, mm-hmm. you don't want to drive 100 miles an hour on your social media.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that you have some wisdom.
Yeah.
Because health professionals, the guys with credentials, not the guys who is an influencer on social media, he's telling us that we have to be careful. And it's not just true for young people. It's true for all of us. Mm-hmm. And I see people, you know, not my generation maybe, because I don't think, you know, we do a lot of social media, but say maybe your generation, maybe, you know, or like in the between 30s and 40s. I see some of the friends that I have in that age range that tell me sometimes, oh, I got to fast away from social media. So mm-hmm. you can be 35, 38 years old, 40 years old, and still be influenced in the wrong way.
Sure.
Like, am I feel bad. You go, look at my life. It's not what this guy over here. Mm-hmm. So there's plenty of reasons for us to be wise and careful.
Yeah.
Even more so when you're younger. And yeah. that's our encouragement today. That's it, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah, Paul says comparing ourselves amongst ourselves is unwise. And one way we base those comparisons is actually in the amount of likes or views,
yes.
or hits, or however you want to think about it, the amount of interactions we get,
yes.
with the posts that we do put on social media. So you see someone who's got hundreds of thousands of followers, lots of comments, lots of this, lots of that, debate going back and forth, just a lot of interaction.
Yeah.
And then you go and post something, and you get, I don't know, I'm a dinosaur, so I still use Facebook. You get like three likes on Facebook, or you post a reel on Instagram and, you know, 100 people view it.
Yes.
And all of a sudden you're like, man, I'm not popular.
Yeah.
I'm this thing, I'm that thing.
Yeah.
And you go into that spiral of thinking.
Yes.
You go into this lie about yourself, and you're not even considering the fact that this could just be what one preacher has once titled it or coined it as stinking thinking. You just go down this direction and you think, this is all I'm ever going to be. This is all I'm ever going to amount to. One thing that we talk about in our Bible psychology class here at Maryland Bible College is something called deficit motivation.
Uh-huh.
Deficit motivation, where you always have a view of yourself that's actually lower than where you really are. If you had a view of yourself from the way that God views you, 1 Corinthians 13, you will be known even as you are known. You will know even as you are known by Him. If you had that view of yourself, you would never delve into these thought patterns.
Yeah.
But we won't ever have that view of ourselves until we're face to face with Christ. But we always have this lower view of ourselves. The higher view of ourselves is like a prideful thing,
mm-hmm.
and the lower view of ourselves is either a false humility or it's a deficit motivation,
yeah.
where we're always counting ourselves short in some way.
Yes.
Oh, we don't measure up to this thing, to yes. that idea, to this person.
Yeah.
And that can really damage us, especially
yes.
a young person, like we keep saying, their brain is not fully developed. They're going to get set in this pattern of thinking for the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm inferior.
Yes.
Oh, I need this group of people to show me what the right thing is.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you have the mental faculties to do that.
Yes.
It is possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, if we go, you know, a little further down to the issues of, you know, we spoke about cyberbullying. I think it's self-evident. You know?
Yeah.
But the sleep disruption is something that is interesting, because mm-hmm. I think it goes to what we're saying about the likes and stuff. So
yeah.
there's a thing that specialists call the dopamine loop.
The dopamine, yeah.
Yeah. And the idea is, so dopamine, you know, if you know what that is, it's what your body creates or secretes that gives you the sense of happiness or feel good idea. And this dopamine loop is interesting because when they look at it, they compare the dopamine loop with the idea of addiction,
mm-hmm.
you know. So of course, I know addiction is a big word, and everybody's going to say, "Oh, roll their eye up." But hear me out here on this one, okay? So where there's the dopamine loop here, you're busy on social media, you post something, and you get a reward, The reward is the likes, the views, and whatever.
Yeah.
And then so it releases dopamine. It makes you feel with. Therefore, you go back to social media.
Yes.
So that is the dopamine loop.
This is
right?
it's a spinoff of Pavlov's social conditioning.
Yes.
Like, but it takes place within your body, and it's very real.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, dopamine is a good thing because God created us in such a way that we react. Mm-hmm. But we are supposed to get the dopamine out of real interactions, real life, real emotions.
Through a variety of interactions.
And then one thing, right? So that's the dopamine loop. So that's addictive. And that addiction, you know, that pattern. Mm-hmm. So because, the addiction pattern is because it really is what it is. Mm-hmm. The addiction patterns, you know, disrupt the sleeping pattern.
Yeah.
Because now
it takes away your production of melatonin.
Yes.
Actually. It increases your production of cortisol.
Yes.
Which is stress.
Yes.
In the body.
Yes. Yeah.
Sorry.
So, it's true. I mean, this is true. So, and you take that a little further, they created maybe 10 years ago what they call infinite scrolling. It's an algorithm that allows you to create content every time you scroll.
Mm-hmm.
In my time, you know, when we had the beginning of social media or where we had internet, you didn't have infinite scrolling. Mm-hmm. Like if I take my phone now, I pull up social media, I can scroll down for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for the rest of the year, and I will not
never
get to
the
bottom of this
thing. Yeah.
So, and that is also something that is become an issue, you know, with addiction. And actually, they compare this to a slot machine.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? You don't know what you're going to end up like. There's always something better that comes up. And that does not create addiction. Especially, as I say, it creates hyper addiction.
Yeah.
So no wonder, you know, when you have, you know, sometimes I talk to young people and then it's very common for me to hear, oh, I'm tired. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm tired. I mean, I understand, you know, life is tiring, but you know, what's interesting about health in a way, I know that's from experience because it happened to me, you know, a few years ago, but you when your body's tired, your mind is tired. And when your mind is tired, your body's tired. Mm-hmm. They go together.
Yes.
And I know that some of the young people, I appreciate that, you know, but they go to Bible college, right? They're busy 4 hours every night, not every night, but 3 nights a week, and they take 2 hours on Friday, and they work maybe 20, 25 hours a week, and they have some, you know, but they don't have, like, the schedule is not full.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not like they're you know, like in working 60 hours a week or being super busy in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But there's two things that actually influence, and that's one is social media, the other one is the famous FOMO, you know, the fear of missing out.
Yes, yeah.
Which also, for me, crippling for our young people sometimes. Because they cannot commit to something because there may be something that comes up later that would be better than that. It's something that is troubling because you're always expecting something to be better and you're not living in the moment.
Yes.
But social media is something that is very tiring because then you go to scroll down, you know, for maybe 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and then you get super tired, you know.
And then you got to wake up in a couple hours, and you're like, wow, why did I do that? But your brain was just eating it all up.
You're doing it again the next night.
You were just taking it all in.
I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, I have a comment from Carol here thanking us about speaking slower because we had a conversation. And
Carol came to both of us separately.
Thank you for that. We're trying. You know, we're trying. So we're happy if it helps you. Because we're so excited that we tend to speak a lot faster. And for your sake, we decided to try this. So we're happy if you're happy.
Yes.
So sleep deprivation was something that is interesting. You know, it's and then we have the privacy issues.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes, I mean, you know, once again, you do whatever you want with your social media. It's, you know, it's just, we're telling you, just like someone who's, you know, you drive 100 miles an hour, okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get a ticket, best case scenario. Worst case scenario, you're going to kill someone for them. And worst case scenario for your family, you're going to end up dead.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, look at the idea of insurance. Like you worked in insurance, right?
I did.
It was a lifetime ago before you were the famous director of Maryland Bible College and Seminary. And do young people pay more for insurance?
100%.
And why is
under the age of 25, statistically, for car insurance specifically, under the age of 25, you are, I can't remember the exact number, but you are much more likely to get into an auto accident that causes severe damage than a person over the age of 25. The moment you hit the age of 25 in the insurance world, as a former salesman of car insurance, like, I was excited to speak to you when you were turning 25 because I knew your rate, whatever company you were with, your rate was going to go down significantly.
Yeah.
And if I could convince you to come with my company as opposed to any of these other companies without looking at any of their other quotes, you'd be like, wow, I'm getting a deal.
Yeah.
And that would be great for both of us.
Well, isn't it interesting that 25 is also the time where we believe the brain
full
is
brain development.
So
yeah.
Now, why would an insurance company decide on what statistics, on what idea is the company charging more for a 25-year or for somebody under 25? Do you have objective reasons?
You mean the insurance company?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, just they're basing it off of statistics.
Yes.
They're basing it off of, like, okay, I worked for insurance in Baltimore City for 2.5 years. Baltimore City is one of the highest likely places in the nation of the U.S. for an accident to occur. So not only do you have that working against your rates, but you also have your age working against your rate, mm-hmm. because the younger you are, the more likely you are. Again,
yes.
This is just purely statistics, yes. on their part. They're not doing this for some reason to stick it to a young person to make it hard for them to, like, be able to fend for themselves and take care of themselves. It's like, no, you are going to cost us a lot of money if we have to pay out,
yes.
in an accident,
yes.
that involves multiple vehicles, which
so
is not likely.
It's not age discrimination.
No.
It's just the fact that if you're under 25, you're going to make stupid decisions.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you make stupid decisions and you have a car, you will kill someone, kill your car, kill yourself. So it is understood, mm-hmm. like in the real world, mm-hmm. that when you're under 25, that we cannot trust you with everything.
The risk is far higher.
The
risk is,
yes.
far higher, yeah.
That is exactly what we're saying with social media.
Yeah.
Just like we said at the beginning, if you drive, we're going to give you so many warnings. You know, it's not like we want to be on your case.
Mm-hmm.
I would expect parents not to buy their kids a Ford Mustang at 17 or 18 years old because they graduate high school and kill someone in the same day.
Mm-hmm.
That would not be the smart thing to do. Apparently, you know that now.
Mm-hmm.
But the point being is, it's the same thing with social media. We've seen the after effect of social media by talking to our young people. And I've never told anyone you should stop social media.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying this, but there's a few things I'm telling them, you know, that maybe we can go into. Now we have maybe 6 or 7 minutes left. Should we go with the positive recommendations?
Yeah.
Or you want something?
Let's first just say something about the privacy issue.
Yes.
Be extremely careful,
yes.
about what personal facts you put on the internet.
Yes.
On any site.
Yes.
For any reason. Any form you're filling out, whatever it is, be extremely careful.
Yeah.
Because if you write it on the internet and it's searchable,
yeah.
like, or if it's posted on, yes. some social media site, it is searchable.
Yes.
So you have to be careful about that. Don't take pictures in front of your house with the house numbers showing.
No. Nope.
Don't post what your birthday is or your, I don't know, your,
I mean,
phone number. Like, there's lots of different things.
To steal your identity, I need two things.
That's it, yeah.
Your phone number, no, your date of birth, and your social security number.
Yes.
Which is harder to get.
Yeah, but a lot of people are pretty savvy,
yeah.
in getting people to
so
try to give out their social security
number.
Your
birth date is actually something that is actually very valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Your home address, you know. And I've seen somebody the other day, I had to say something off social media, but they actually posted their credit card and wondering, you know, if it was a good bank or not, you know. So the whole thing is there. And now on the credit card, all the numbers are on one side.
Yeah.
Even the CC, the,
yep,
the CVV.
It's all on the back on some,
so,
of them. Yep.
Well, this one was all in the front with your name on it. So anyway, so yeah, that's not very good. Well, you said searchable. There's four things that the people who study social media and warn young people about. There's four things you have to know about social media. Number one, if you post it, it's searchable.
Yes.
I can find it. Number two, it's there forever.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's a story on Instagram.
Even if you delete an account,
yes.
even if you get rid of, like, the memory is still there.
Yes.
In some drive somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and people say, well, my story on Instagram will disappear in 24 hours unless I take a screenshot and post it myself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's which leads to the third point. It's copyable.
It's copyable. Yes.
Yes. I can do whatever I want with this. I can take this. I can use it. That's why we have memes, right? I can take a screenshot, something I find funny, and change it and make it a meme out of it. And now you look like, you know, because then some people have been bullied, go to cyberbullying, because their face has been used as a meme. Now they're super famous and ridiculed on the internet because they said something, you know, like you have all these, you know how you heard like about, you know, the famous Karens. You know, the Karens are usually the women that complain about something they shouldn't complain about, right?
Our producer's laughing. Yes.
He's laughing. He knows. He knows because now we're speaking
his
language.
He's a Gen Z.
He's a Gen Z.
I think Gen Z?
Yeah, he's a Gen Z. Yeah.
So he knows what a Karen is. Yeah, 100%.
Well, so the point is, you know, now...
No offense if your name is Karen.
Yeah, Ken. Yeah, please. Sorry about that.
Just a term.
Yes, but the point being is that once, you know, you react to something and then somebody's with you should have the decency to realize, oops, you know, sorry about that, I'm moving on, even if I think I'm right. Because this, if you Google Karens, you have website and social media dedicated to make friends of those people.
Yeah.
And you see millions of views. So now everybody in your neighborhood think you're an idiot. So you ruin your own life because it's copyable and it's global. That's that's the fourth point.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so
okay.
Wait, hold on.
All right. Well, so I
have some tips over here that you want to read them. And
then I want you to do the tips because I want to say something to our listeners' hearts in a minute. So go ahead.
Do you want to start with?
No, I want you to do this.
You want to finish? Like,
I want
strong.
You to lead in with the positive, and then I'm gonna just come right after your. Where you're at with God right now.
Okay.
Because I'm a pastor and I prefer that.
Yes.
Personally.
Well, yeah. So, yes. Okay. So, a few tips that you find like on very helpful. Number one, we take breaks, right? From social media.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't take a break, then you should question yourself, why can I?
Mm-hmm.
Can't I? You know.
Very good. Yes.
Okay. Number two, one thing that I don't have on my phone is notifications. Except on my text.
Yeah.
I want to be able to know when somebody's trying to reach me.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the calls.
Those pings that you get, constant dopamine.
Yes.
Constant dopamine. Yep. You get a ping on your phone, a little buzz. You'll feel it. You got to go for your phone. You got to go for it.
Yes. Number three, you can unfriend and unfollow and mute people that are not good. You know, it's okay to do that. Well, in most social media, people don't know if you unfriend them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's fine. You don't, you know, you'll be fine. And sometimes I do that. I'm on social media because of my work with young adults. I have to be able to have an account to be able to post anything. So, and sometimes people, you know, want to friend you. You look at what they're doing. Thank you.
Yeah.
Number four, track your screen time. Like on my phone, for example, there is an app in there. I just click on one and I know how long I spent on my phone and what did I do with every minute that I use on my phone. Mm-hmm. So that's very interesting because that's very revealing.
It's very helpful.
Yeah, you think, I don't spend a lot of time. Then you end up having 3 or 4 hours of screen time. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Keep a balanced perspective, meaning that if you're spending more time on social media than with your friends, that's unbalanced. And the last one is you need to prioritize your time. If you are in social media, maybe you can prioritize things that are going to help you. Like you can learn something and follow. There is some great, like I love aviation, you know, so I read about it, you know, it's like, so, and when I'm looking at a video or something on social media, there's a couple of guys that I follow, I find very interesting, that I'd rather see that, you know, just, you know, so anyway, so that was my point.
Cool.
Now is the time for you to
very
finish.
Good. All right.
Finish it.
Coming in hot. I don't know.
Coming in.
Listen, if you are one of those people who's spending a lot of your time on social media, I think from both of us and many other people who understand where that's coming from, there's two terms that we use in biblical psychology to talk about this. You're searching for two huge things that God really is the one who can provide for you, not the social media website, not the likes, not the views, not the interactions. It's called security and significance. Mm-hmm. You are looking for an identity for who you are to stand alone in this world, because this world can be scary. This world can be full of critique, of criticisms, of so much that feels like it's coming against you. You need to be comfortable to stand alone. The best way to do that is to look to Christ. The best way to find who you are, what your identity is to look to the person who made you, That's Jesus Christ. That's God the Father. The second thing, significance. You're looking for love in all reality. You're looking for love. You're looking to be loved by other people. The best way you can find that love is first in a relationship with God, and secondly, with those people around you, especially if they are members of the body of Christ, if they are members of the church, if they are members in particular who have the Spirit of God in them and can say something encouraging to you, can give you a word in season, can speak to you where you're living in your heart at that moment, because that's what the Spirit of God does. That's what Christ loves to do with his people. He's a shepherd, and he wants to lead his sheep away from the dangers, away from the cliffs, protect them from the wolves. Yep. And we could liken a lot of those things to social media in different ways. So look to Christ, look to the body, look to fellow believers, and find your identity and your purpose. Find your ability to love and your receiving of love in him.
Amen.
Amen.
That's it. That's it.
All right. Amen.
All right.
Thank you for joining us today.
You have to finish it now.
Oh, I do. I forgot. Don't forget to subscribe to our show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Please be sure to join us for our next show as we continue the discussions on youth and navigating social media throughout the week. See ya.